Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
From the field to the court, every play that's made. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports Show, where real takes over fake debates. It is Monday, another football Monday. Sean, how are you feeling today, brother?
Doing good, SB. How you doing tonight, bro?
Oh, chilling. Cannot complain. Cannot complain at all. I'm just chilling. We got a lot of things to cover in today because we actually, like I said, it's a football Monday, so we got games today. Two games, doubleheader, which we got to do a quick preview of that one. And after we do that one, because the game is actually going to start here pretty much soon. But I would say salute to Tiff in the chat, salute to Go James in the chat, salute to everybody watching in the chat. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share, make sure you guys subscribe. But Sean, the first game that's getting ready to kick off and start is the Buccaneers versus the Texans. This is a game that me and you both had picked differently for the picks of the week. So what you expecting out of this game today?
I want to see how the Texans offense plays. They struggled last week against the Rams. And certainly, you know, I thought the defense played, their defense played really well in that game. I kind of expect the defense to play really well tonight for the Buccaneers. Can they get the running game going? I think they need to try to get the run game going. They don't want Baker throwing the ball you know, all night against that Texans secondary and pass rush. So can the Buccaneers get some balance in their offense, you know, and try to, you know, come out of, you know, Houston with a big win tonight. So we'll see.
Well, for me, only thing, like, I still was raising my concerns with on Texas as just the O-line and how the offense going to look. Is it going to look pretty much – is it going to look better? Baker Mayfield and these guys, well, I'm not really as concerned with certain other things, like with the O-line. You kind of know what you're going to get from the Buccaneers. Now they have pretty much solidified who they are under with Baker Mayfield and what their defense will do. They're a pretty solid team. So I still got the Buccaneers winning this game convincingly. I still got it, even though it is in Texans. It's still in Texas, but I can see Buccaneers coming up on this game. And then with that happening, that means the Texans will start the season off 0-2, and the Buccaneers would start the season 2-0. And we got a lot of 0-2 teams to talk about too, Sean, when we get into the show today. So that's to be another thing to watch too. We might have to be talking about them next week with them being 0-2. But before we get into our week two recap, we got to talk about the Golden State Warriors. Real quick, NBA before we get into the NFL. The Golden State Warriors offered restricted free agent for Jonathan Kuminga, 3-year, $75.2 million deal. What's your reaction to this, Sean?
Not surprising. I think the Warriors want to keep him with the intention of potentially packaging him to move him for another piece when he's trade eligible, presumably in January. Right now, that he has the qualifying offer. He has not signed a qualifying offer. And as we get closer to training camp, which will be starting here very soon in the NBA season, this is kind of lingering out here. I think a couple things for Jonathan Kuminga. He wants a role. He wants a steady, consistent role in the rotation, starting and finishing. And right now it doesn't appear that the Warriors are going to guarantee him that. I know Joe Lacob, the owner, is a huge fan of Jonathan Kuminga. He was a big proponent of him drafting Jonathan Kuminga. And you understand why when you looked at the upside of Jonathan Kuminga. Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, he's not – but Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy Jr. are not going to tell Steve Kerr who to play and who not to play. That's his call. And so I think eventually what we ultimately see here is there will be a parting of ways. But from the Warriors' perspective, they don't want to lose Jonathan Kuminga for nothing. And so if he plays on a qualifying offer, you know, next season or this coming season, then he could be an unrestricted free agent. And again, you know, they don't want to lose him for anything. And they know teams will have cap space next offseason that they didn't have this season. So, you know, I think
you get paid then.
Yeah. And I think, again, you know, for him, you know, I think they're just in an impasse. And that's really what it comes down to. And certainly, you know, you understand both sides of it, you know, because again, you know, they drafted him. He is an asset. He is a good player with still some upside. But at the same time, the signing trades they were getting, offers they were getting for him, didn't satisfy what they were looking for. And so their responsibility is ultimately to themselves and to their organization. Kuminga's looking out for his career, and you understand that point. And, you know, so I think it's just some point they're going to have to just, you know, be in the middle and figure it out and then, you know, see where things are, you know, come January particularly.
If I was Kuminga, I'll just sign a qualifying offer. 1 year, bet on yourself. Because I would say bet on yourself anyway because they're not going to play you. And then just go get your money next offseason to leave. I think the relationship is actually more sour than they're actually – making it out to be, because the Warriors is a good organization, so they're keeping it in-house. But the way Jonathan Kuminga has pretty much been treated during this tenure with the Warriors is not good. And it was with Gordon Hayward with the Utah Jazz. He went through something like this where he was having bad contract negotiations with the team, but he ended up reaching a deal. But after that deal was done, he left and went to the – he became an all-star, then left and went to the Boston Celtics. He said part of that reason why he left because of how the contract negotiation went and the relationship was, even though the whole time he was reporting and now everything was good, but he felt the way. Players going to feel the way. And Jonathan Kuminga understand knowing that it's the two things that's the problem with the Warriors. One day, Steve Kirk will not play. Does not play him enough to show, play him enough to where his star potential could show. And then two, he already know once he signed that contract, he's just going to get traded. It's just, this is the contract to sign and trade. So at least I want to have control of my future where I can pick where I want to go. So if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, I'm not accepting no money. I'm not accepting no deal from the Warriors. I'm signing the qualifier offer, play on the qualifier offer for 1 year, and then I'm walking out. And I'm moving on, going to the next destination where teams will have money. Next up, Sean, we have to talk about week two. Week two has just passed. A lot of games have been played, a lot of footballs, a lot of touchdowns have been thrown during this week. A lot of eyes have been open about certain teams where you're looking at them and you're questioning them. A lot of eyes opening on certain teams where you're looking at, okay, they might be the real deal. But Sean, and one other thing that was going on that was crazy. There was a lot of touchdowns, but welcome back the injury bug. It has been a lot of injuries, big name injuries. First up on the list, we got to go ahead and talk about it. Joe Burrow will undergo toe surgery because he got turf toe. Will be out for at least 3 months, Sean. How big of a loss is this for the Bengals?
I mean, it's huge. Obviously, when you talk about Joe Burrow, you talk about one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL on most people's list. But certainly when you look at the season he had last year, he had a, you know, great statistical season last year. Obviously, they didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they were coming into this year really, really excited with getting Joe Burrow, obviously, back and getting T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase locked up long term. And, you know, feeling like maybe they might have made some improvements, you know, with their defense, bringing in a new defensive coordinator, and certainly, you know, drafting some young guys on the defensive side of the football. You know, they really, really, truly believed that they, you know, were, you know, headed to, you know, great things. Losing Burrow hurts, obviously, but they do have a capable backup in Jake Browning. He has played. He has experience. He knows the system. He's not Joe Burrow and can't expect him to be Joe Burrow, but at least they have that. They could, I think they could very well be in the market, you know, because I'm be honest, this is, they're saying a minimum of 3 months. That's the minimum time he's going to miss. He may miss a little bit longer depending on how he's recovering and things. They may go out on the veteran market and may call Atlanta about Kirk Cousins potentially, you know, so I think, you know, Browning's going to be the guy for now, but I think it's going to be a fluid situation based on how they're playing and, you know, where they see themselves. So, but it stinks. Obviously, you know, you don't see anybody get hurt, but, you know, this is why you have a backup quarterback and this is why you build a team. And I think the Bengals believe they can still be competitive even without Joe Burrow.
You can think all you want, Sean. But reality of the fact is they cannot compete nowhere without Joe Burrow. They can barely compete with him because you see they didn't make the playoffs. So they couldn't compete with him. So we're gonna knock that out the bud right there. This injury is a big loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. This just pretty much cost them their season. Now, how far were we thinking where they was gonna go? I could probably go back and look at our prediction board. Maybe I think me and you both probably had them like third.
I had them third in the division. Third.
So we had both had them probably like third in the division. I don't know if I have second. I have to relook at it again. But this is the season right here. 3 months. That's a long time. And then you expect it for him to just come back mid-season. I honestly think you're rolling, but then also if you're rolling, the backup quarterback doing his job, do you really want to play? All signs point to just sit Joe Burrow out for the rest of the season, to be real with you. That's what it feels like to me. Just sit Joe Burrow out for the rest of the season. Season over. Tank it away. Obviously, don't tank for none of those. But you don't need a quarterback, but it's looking a little shaky for all those quarterbacks in college that everybody just praise a little too early. But that's a different story for a different day. But no, I think this is a big L for injury for the Bengals. But in a positive light, maybe you can lose out this season, get a high enough draft pick, and draft somebody for their defense, and hopefully you actually pay him on time, because you isn't a little Henderson. You're going to lose him. So you got to get some talent, Sean. That's what I'm saying. Use your pick, get some talent. But from a scale of 1 to 10, this is definitely a 9 for sure.
No, I mean, listen, it stinks when you lose your starting quarterback, right? But tell Eagles fans, you know, from 2017 when Carson Wentz got hurt and Nick Foles came in and led him to a Super Bowl, figure it out. That's the job. Figure it out. And that's what, again, they do have a backup who has played and has been in that system for some time. So that's why I'm not completely going to count them out. Obviously, he's not Joe Burrow, right? No. To be clear. But they're going to have to figure out, again, can we play better defensively? Can we run the football? You know, because, again, a lot of it was Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins were the deodorant that, you know, covered up a lot of the odors for that team. Mm-hmm. And again, they started out 2-0. They're off to a good start.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Or, you know, can they, you know, just figure out a way to stay in contention? And I think that's what they're ultimately going to do. They'll figure out a way to stay in contention. Again, I didn't have them as a playoff team anyway in the AFC. Right, so. But, you know, I'm just saying for them and how they're thinking is, no, we're going to go out. We're going to figure out a way to try to win every week. And it's going to look different week to week based on the opponent, but also just based on the personnel we have available.
And then for me, the real question is, if you don't go with Browning, which I think you should probably just stick with him since that's already your guy, he already knows the system, see how that works. But if you had to bring somebody in, I'll let you guys know right now, it's probably going to be a bet. It's not going to be no rookie, ain't going to be nobody young, and ain't going to be nobody young.
Yeah, and
it ain't going to be nobody young.
Yeah, but and again, like you said, if you're going to bring in a vet, you're going to call teams about vets. You know, again, Kirk Cousins comes to mind immediately, you know, obviously. But, you know, some of the other vets that may be available, those teams have said, hey, we're not interested in trading those guys. Yeah. So I think Kirk Cousins would probably be the first call that Kirk they Cousins. Would make if they make that call.
I'm going to say Kirk Cousins, I'm thinking Jameis Winston.
Yeah, but they've already said they're not. The Giants have already said they have no interest in trading Jameis. They've gotten calls about Jameis Winston. They have no interest in trading Jameis Winston. So they come out and said as much. So that's what I'm saying. So I think it's got to be a situation where you know there's a guy who wants to be playing and a team that's okay moving off their contract. That's why Kirk Cousins makes, you know, the most sense, just because of those two factors.
Yeah. Say, well, not go get the guy from Malik Willis on the Packers. Malik Willis might be a good name to call for, but.
Yeah, but I mean, again, he's their backup. So if something happens to Jordan Love, they need Malik Willis. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's probably got to be a guy who's in a situation where the team wants to move on from him. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah.
Next up on the injury bug. Who did the injury bug get this time, Sean? J.J. McCarthy, the rookie who looked at nicest, well, the second half of his
fourth quarter
of this first game, second game, and it didn't. Atlanta brought him down back home, brought him back to reality. But didn't Minnesota they? Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy is expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks due to a high ankle sprain. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell announced Monday that McCarthy isn't expected to play Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, so it will be the backup bowl when we see those two guys play, according to ESPN. The 2024 Coach of the Year did not mention whether the second-year passer will miss any additional time, but added that Minnesota plans to start Carson Wentz versus Cincinnati. Now, Sean, and I was talking to one of my friends, one of my boys, and I was like, you know, JJ better hope Carson Wentz don't look good, because then he might end up having to play. Because one thing that I can say, besides Andy Reid, who I got on that quarterback whisperer list, Kevin O'Connell is that too. And he got Kirk Cousins paid. He just got Sam Darnold paid. And I guarantee you, if Carson Wentz, he can probably make him go out there and make him look good too. And Carson Wentz, that's where I get paid too. Because he can make, that's one thing he can do. Him and also the 49ers guy, I don't know why his name trying to play for me right now. He's on my quarterback whisperer list too.
Mike's son.
Yep. But yeah, what's your reaction to this? To how damaging is this for the Minnesota Vikings season?
I mean, how damaging it is for their season, I can't say. Again, like you mentioned, they have a guy, Kevin O'Connell, who will figure it out. You know, around Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz is a veteran quarterback who's played a lot of games. So I got to believe they'll figure it out. To me, this is more damaging for J.J. McCarthy because he needs experience. He didn't play last year because he was hurt. Well, he wasn't probably going to play last year anyway, but he didn't play last. He missed all of last season with an injury. And now, 2 games into his de facto rookie year, he's going to miss, you know, time that he needs to develop. Clearly needs to develop because, with the exception of 1 quarter of football, the 4th quarter of last week's Monday Night Football game, he's looked really, really, really bad. So I think, you know, again, the person that's hurting the most from this is J.J. McCarthy, just because he's going to be missing valuable playing time to develop.
Well, one thing I want to highlight this one, right, what the Johnny's talk about, because I actually have concerns too when it comes to this, because on our fantasy team, what Johnny said, injuries are piling up, fantasy moves needed. First of all, I had Wendell Robinson on my bench 2 times in a row. He just been going off. I'm like, bro, what's going on? But I got Tua at quarterback. And with all these quarterbacks being injured, I might need to go for a backup or something, Sean. When it comes to the fantasy with all these injuries, and it's hard to tell for anybody who is doing a fantasy league. I would probably say if I was playing fantasy, the quarterback who's most likely a free agency I would go for is Carson Wentz in this situation. It's because of the system that he's in with Kevin O'Connell there. He will probably play at least solid to good. Kevin O'Connell, like you said, Sean, will figure it out. He's on that quarterback whisperers list where he will figure it out. Right. And when doubling that back down to the point with the Vikings, how serious his injury is. For me, for the Vikings, this is like a six. Just because the guy that you want to be the guy is out and you want him to play. But with how the Vikings are set up, they'd be perfectly fine.
And I would say just from a fantasy perspective, there's some guys that's probably available in free agency in your fantasy league. So a guy like Russell Wilson, he's only on 5% of rosters in Yahoo Fantasy. So that's a decent pickup if you're trying to find a bridge quarterback until your quarterback is healthy. Daniel Jones is only on 18% of rosters in Yahoo Fantasy. So, you know, there's some guys available in fantasy. Sam Darnold's only on 11% of rosters. Yeah, so there's some guys available, you know, in fantasy who, you know, Cam Ward is only on 19% of rosters. So, you know, there's some guys available that, you know, can, you know, plug the hole for you if you're looking for a fantasy quarterback.
In a way. Next up on the injury bug list, Sean, is Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels, dealing with a sprained knee injury. He's questionable for week 3.
Right.
I don't think this one is as bad as the other injuries were. I'm gonna be real with you. I don't think this is as bad as the other injuries was. I think Jaden McDaniel will be fine, but the Commanders do not want to risk it too. If he might need to sit out a week, I say go for it, let him sit out. But I think it's football. He used to be fine, but also you don't want to risk your season because everybody got the Commanders on high alert watch because of what they did last year. So they're not just playing just to be good. They're actually trying to compete. So But they live and die through Jake Daniels, though, for sure.
Yeah, and again, if you're Washington, you got to take the long-term approach, right? If he's not healthy, you don't put him on the field. That's your not just your present, that's your future. And I always remember just using Washington as an example. RG3, you know, his rookie year got hurt and, you know, tried to come back and probably shouldn't have come back. And obviously we know how that story ended with Washington. I think they've got to take an organizational decision, you know, here about Jaden Daniels. If he's not 100% and that knee is an issue, then you got to play the long game. You cannot play because he is your franchise quarterback and for the next, you know, presumably 15 years. So don't play around with that.
No, I wouldn't play around with that at all. Next up on the list, which one is big for the Bears on the injury bug? Where the bug? Boom, injury bug has bitten. The Bears, Jalen Johnson. Double J got could miss the rest of the season with a groin injury. How big and damaging is this for the Chicago Bears? Because you know they, I don't think you want to lose nobody after giving up 50 on the defense after giving up 52 points.
No, you don't. And again, you know he's a big part of what they do defensively. He's an All Pro, former All Pro, two-time Pro Bowler. You know, again. Obviously, you know, they would hate to lose him, but, you know, again, a groin injury, you can't play with it. I think they're putting him on IR, as I understand, which means they're going to give him some time and see maybe where he is in a few weeks. But, you know, obviously this is a big, big hit. But, yeah, yesterday was really bad for the Bears defense. I mean, it was atrocious. Welcome to the Dennis Allen experience. But anyway.
I thought you just couldn't coach.
I mean, that was that coaching yesterday? I don't know.
But I mean, her defensive coordinator, he was a guru.
Yeah, no, so yeah, you know, but hey, you know, yeah, but for him, for Jalen Johnson, obviously, you know, tough break, but you know, you can't play around with a groin injury, you know, obviously.
No, I wouldn't play around with a groin injury. One, I'm gonna just say that. So you gotta let Double J try to recover the best way he can. But even if WJ was healthy and played, that the Bears got to do something else different. It is a little too early, but we is going to talk about the Bears a little bit in a second, a little bit more too. But they have to get it together. It's too many sporadic like points where they look good and then they look awful. Both sides of the ball, I'm going to say. Now, could WJ be back, help them on defense? Maybe, but I don't expect like too much. It's so much a corner can do and be impactful in the game. Because if they just don't throw his way, then that's all he really can mostly control or make a tackle here or there. But it's a lot of other components with the Chicago Bears team, not just injuries that stop it.
Of course.
But now speaking of, we got to talk about some teams who are losing. And are they really in danger? But before we get into that, because I do want to highlight some team, and we're going to talk about one team because they did it to themselves. Where when you talk smack, Sean, you get belted to be in. And I just want to say before we get into these 0-2, so that's how I told you, Sean, 20 plus. You talk that talk. This will happen. You go get smacked. The Ravens put BTA to the Browns. Next time, shut your mouth. Just play football. Now, Sean, if I think if they would have just not said nothing and played, probably Ravens won by like 15, maybe 20. But this 40, that 41 was personal. That's all I want to say. I know Tiff somewhere was watching, super happy. But the team that they beat was the Browns. And they 0-2. And the 0-2 teams. Starting 0-2, I should say. I mean, you are real danger to not have a good season, I should say.
Right.
And now how they got the league set up, where these are division games early. Like the Chicago Bears are on this list. They first two games were division games. So now those actually hit a little bit harder than just being 0-2, how the big 0-2. So we're gonna break down every team that's 0-2. And we're going to ask, are they really in danger or if they just not to even be worried about? Like if they, you know, if they not, or and also in between is they going to turn it around. So it's three right. ways to go.
Right.
Let's do the AFC first. Okay. AFC first. Sean, I'll let you pick and choose. Ooh. Matter of fact, we talked about the Browns. Let's knock the Browns out. Are the Browns in danger because they're 0-2?
I mean, the Browns were in danger from the moment the season started, if we're being honest.
That's true.
Their big thing is, you know, they just want to see, you know, what they have in their young guys. Obviously, I think the thing that's interesting about the Browns is the Browns defense has actually played pretty well, you know, the first two games. Obviously, we're going to look at the 41 they gave up yesterday, but some of that was just the offense just couldn't do any, did not do anything. And so the Browns defense were on the field quite a bit. And, you know, but that said, you know, where were they going, you know, from the get-go? I mean, did anybody have them pegged as a team that was going to be winning games this year? Probably not. So, no.
Sean, Mar right here comment says something very well. Because the Browns been winning Super Bowl. Myles Garrett, Mar said Myles Garrett is a top five player in the league stuck in Cleveland. The day Myles Garrett signed that extension, Sean, the Browns won their Super Bowl. That's all they wanted to do. They knew they wanted.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
I can't get nothing else. They knew they weren't competing. Their Super Bowl has been complete already. Are the Browns in danger? Danger of my viewing eyes of watching. That's about probably it. That's the only thing they're in danger of. Hurting my viewing eyes. But this team wasn't expected to do nothing. They're tanking pretty much. So you can't be in danger when you're already playing the tank. Next up, I'll take this one. Let's do. I want to save the Chiefs for the last. Okay, I'm gonna do the Jets. Jets 0-2. Are they in danger? I'm gonna say no, Sean. But it does hurt to see Justin Fields going in concussion protocol. He was another guy got hit with, but I think he should be fine. But are the Jets in danger? I'm gonna say no, only because you weren't really expecting too much from them. But also, they didn't look really bad in none of their games. You see the potential, you see the coaching change, you see the difference of coaching with this team compared to like last year. So I wouldn't put them in danger, but it's not like they're not they're not over exceeding expectations, or they're not like playing worse than what I thought they was gonna play. It's like right. They played the Bills. I expect the Bills to beat them. The Bills should beat the Jets easily. And then last week when they played the Steelers, they had a close, good game against the Steelers. So they're not in danger. They're doing what I expect them to do. Actually, I think they're playing better than what I actually expected them to do. So they look solid for me. What about you? How about the Jets? Are they in danger?
I'm not going to say the Jets are in danger. I think, obviously, you mentioned last week they played a close game against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was not good against the Bills. I picked them as my upset pick. We'll never do that again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think what they are is their team trying to figure out their identity mm-hmm. under a new head coach. And, obviously, you know, with Justin Fields, new quarterback, they want to mm-hmm. run the football and they want to play good defense. And, you know, if they're not able to do that, I don't think they're playing to the identity that they really want to play to. So, you know, right now it's them figuring out their identity. But also I think defensively, they got to play better. And, again, I know it's a new scheme, you know, mm-hmm. under Aaron Glenn, but they've got to play better defensively.
Yeah, they got to. Next up, Sean, this is kind of high on Titans. You know, we got players with a history. Now, I wouldn't say this team, but – 0-2 Titans, are they in danger?
I'm not going to say they're in danger. I think, again, yesterday, it was actually a pretty competitive game until probably about midway through the third quarter. You know, I think they're asking a lot out of Cam Ward. rookie quarterback making, you know, obviously it's just his second start, you know, and again, running the football, can they run the football better? Can their pass catches, you know, not have key drops? So I'm not going to say they're in danger. I just think they're a team that's, you know, asking a lot of their rookie quarterback. They played defensively. They played really well in Denver last week. They played pretty well defensively again till probably about midway through the third quarter. And then the Rams just turned up a little bit. But no, I'm not going to say they're in danger. I just think they're a team that's, you know, trying to figure it out with, again, rookie quarterback trying to, again, figure out their identity with this rookie quarterback.
The Titans as a team in danger? No. But who's in danger is Cam Ward. Because you hit it right on the head where you said they're acting a little bit too much for him. I do think they need to simplify it down a little bit. I get he's number one pick, but he's still your franchise. And also, you don't want to kill your confidence of your young quarterback. Because this is a different era of football where you ain't – nobody's ever going to get – I'm sorry you Peyton Manning as a poster child for this, but it's true. Peyton Manning, nobody's going to get the Peyton Manning treating to be bad these first couple of years, and they still believe in you. And then you get the chance to go – it's a social media era. So they don't – Josh Allen was the one who snuck through too, but it was getting close to that point. It was second year he started showing something. Yeah. But that's why I said in this era they won't give people a chance to actually like sit and grow. So that's the only problem. I think Cam Ward is in danger because of the noise. If he doesn't start showing that he's number one pick, yes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this one, Sean, the 0-2 Dolphins, are they in danger?
Yes.
How bad? 1 to 10?
9.
I might say 12. The kitchen's on fire.
Yeah.
Kitchen's on fire. The kitchen's is on fire, Sean. This team is in danger all the way around. Offensively, I'm not impressed. Defensively, I am definitely not impressed. This looks like a team where a coach lost the locker room. It's time for a culture change for Miami. This experiment did not work. It was cool when y'all had it, but it's over with. Sean, do you know the Miami Dolphins have had a player-only meeting already? It's over with. You have a player only meetings at week 2 of the season? Yeah, it's about GGs in the chat. But, you know, you can finish this year out with McDaniels and Tua. When y'all finish last in this division, because that's what it's looking like, clean house. Everybody must go. Buy one, get one free. Everybody must go, Sean. The Dolphins are in serious trouble. For me. You, Sean, they're in trouble for you. I don't know if you said,
No, they're in trouble. No, they're done. Yeah, they're done. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, but they're trash. The team is terrible. And it's going to get worse on Thursday night in Buffalo.
Yes, it is. Are the 0-2 previous Super Bowl appearance, Kansas City Chiefs, are they in danger?
No.
Okay.
No.
Why?
Two things. One, obviously, they were expecting a lot out of Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice to give them some more explosion on offense. I think without those guys, they don't threaten the field. And then they've been very dependent on Patrick Mahomes, the magic of Patrick Mahomes. And obviously you talk about Travis Kelce, who's, we know is at the tail end. I think their big thing is, They need those guys back to provide some explosion to that offense and to help, you know, widen that offense. Also, when I watched them yesterday in particular, I think they got to get Kareem Hunt more involved in the running game. I think he brings a physical element, but also they got blown. I mean, and I'm saying, I know they got some new pieces on the offensive line, but the Eagles defensively were able to really control the line of scrimmage quite a bit during that game. And so I do wonder about that offensive line, that Chiefs offensive line. They'll probably figure it out. It may take some time, but those are probably my two biggest concerns is just they don't have the explosives on offense. And then that offensive line, particularly when trying to run the football, they're not able to really, you know, move guys too well. And again, I think Kareem Hunt, you know, provided some physicality to their run game, but, you know, they need a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I think what the Chiefs, they'll be fine. I'm just throwing this in the air, Sean. And with football, anything can happen because if people can change contracts, do extension, and move money. It'd probably be hard. With what if anything else comes out that like Rice would come out suspension, like Xavier Worthy, extension might be longer than what it's supposed to be. Don't be surprised if Tyreek Hill, you know. Sorry about that. Doctor, if you can stop. But don't be surprised if Tyreek Hill might make a return. That's all.
I wouldn't see that this season. I think the big thing, Xavier Worthy, you know, he did practice on Friday, this past Friday, but they wanted to give him another week with that, you know, dislocated shoulder. I think you'll see him back probably next week, you know, so that'll be a big value add. But also, they got a, you know, a couple more weeks before Rashee Rice comes back from the suspension. I think that's when you'll see their offense really take off because, again, those guys just provide, you know, great explosion different ways, but those guys provide an explosiveness to their offense they just don't have right now.
Yeah, and I can see them, like, adding, like, if it's, like, one late receiver come late to add, I can see them adding that guy. You know, they always going to find a way to give him a piece because I think they do need – Mahomes needs some help. Travis Kelce don't look the same. Worthy is out. Rice is out. I even think when those guys return, I still think they're going to need another guy that's going to pretty much help them get – to that next level offensively. Mahomes only can take you so far, and I feel like that's the only problem with the Chiefs right now. They seem like they're too Mahomes-esque dependent. Now, the other two teams that's there, we got to do the NFC edition. I mean, honestly, it's really only one team to really talk about here, Sean. I'm being 100% real with you. We want to just exit out the other two teams. I know you.
No. I mean, we don't have to talk about the Saints. We can talk about those other three teams, though.
I mean, the Giants, what's they really talking about the Giants?
Is there? I mean, the Giants probably should have won that game yesterday. I mean, yeah. If we're being honest. But, you know, when you let Russ cook, he burns the meal.
I would say Giants, I really don't have too much to say. Is they in danger? No, I expected them to finish last in the division. Are the Panthers in danger? No, I expected them to finish last in the division.
You expect them to finish third the division, the Panthers.
I did. I picked them third. Who I picked last?
The Saints.
You're right. I'm tripping. I finished third. And the Panthers are fun to watch. Saints, I expect them to finish last. They Saints are showing you that they're tanking. They're not even hot. It's about the Bears. Let's be real. It's about the Bears.
Well, I want to say this real quick about the Panthers. I know you don't want to spend a lot of time on them, SB. To me, the big issue with the Panthers is obviously they got deep in the hole yesterday and they were able to make it a game late in the game, but they can't keep playing out of a hole. And when Bryce Young came back last year, you know, after, you know, his time out, they ran the football really, really well. And again, they were able to do a lot of things because that running game was going. That running game has been non-existent. Yesterday it was definitely non-existent. And Bryce Young throwing the ball 55 times a game is not a winning formula for them.
No, it's not a winning formula.
You know, and so that's the other thing. Now, again, if there's been a bright spot, Tet McMillan is showing why.
Yes.
You know, he's so heralded coming out of Arizona. But, you know, I think the big thing is they got to find some balance, but they also got to quit playing out of a hole and quit digging yourselves in these deep holes because, again, that's a recipe for disaster. So I'd say I'm not going to say all is lost for the Panthers, but they got to play better. Now, they got Atlanta coming to town this week. It's probably going to be just another case of that old BTA. So, you know, but that said, you know, I think the Panthers, you know, got some promise, but they've got to start playing better early in games.
Yeah, but they like you said, that's the main thing I wanted to see with them. That's all I want to see. I just want to see promise. I just want to see improvement, which they have had, even though with those real concerns, Sean, that you have, they have had. But the Bears, on the other hand, they have the expectations. You get the new coach.
And they show flashes, like how you talking about with the Panthers. No, the Bears have shown flashes, like, oh my God, okay. Well, at least offensively. I still get glimpses of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Not on the same page, you can kind of tell. They still trying to figure each other out. They haven't molded yet, which that does need time to do. But the Bears defense has not looked good either. That's the main thing. And I, like we talked about, Double J was injured earlier, but it's just, for me, that one person does not just go make that much of a difference unless he's like a guy. I feel like a guy on the line can make that big of an impact. But a corner only can do so much, because if he just don't throw his way, then it's only so much he could do. But to give up 52 points, I'm putting that loss on Ben Johnson. You can put it on Caleb too, because Caleb could have made a lot of passes. But this Bears defense is not good. It is, and if it keep playing like this, I can only expect the defense to even be top 20 shot. It's looking like it's gonna be bad. They gave up 334 yards and 5 touchdowns to Jared Goff. Jared Goff looked like prime Tom Brady out there. They are in danger.
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, there's some concerns. I mean, you can't even dispute that. I think, you know, a couple things to remember, you know, Jared Goff, that first early on in that Ben Johnson system, it took some time, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the same thing we have to think about with the Bears and with Caleb Williams in that system. Mm-hmm. It took some time. And, you know, but once – it got rolling, we see what we see from Detroit. I think it's going to be the same thing with the Bears. It's going to take some time with Caleb Williams in that new system and Ben Johnson. But again, to your point, defensively, they have to play better. They cannot put the off.
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Offense in this position where they have got to go. You can't ask a new offensive guy to score 53 points to win a game.
It's not going to happen.
It's not right now. And not so.
Not against his former team too. It's not realistic. It's not going to happen.
Right now, again, if there's been a bright spot for the Bears, it's obviously for me. It's been Rome Odunze that he's shown again why he was a top 10 pick and why they should be, the Bears fans should probably be very excited about him in the future. But this new offense, they're still forming, and it's going to take a while for them to norm. So this offense is still forming. So it's going to take some time.
The problem is, John, this is Chicago. In Detroit, you can sit, be trash, be bad, have a losing record, and tell the fans, hey, we going to be better, just watch. Because in Detroit, I'm still shocked that Detroit is this good, Sean, back-to-back. My whole life, Detroit has been a bad team. So you can sell that to Detroit fans. You can't sell that to Bears fans, and then especially at a position where the Bears have not had a good elite quarterback, where Jay Cutler is possibly in the conversation, the one of the Bears' great quarterback. So that tells you a lot different when it comes to the Bears situation. So they're gonna take it very seriously.
Right.
Now, before we get into our real take or overreaction, but you got another game headed tonight. My Chargers against the Raiders. And as always, F the Raiders. I got the Chargers winning tonight. Sean got the Raiders. What's your game preview? I can tell you right now, Justin Herbert, we got to lock in. Our wide receivers got to play their role. This game hit a little bit. I'm mad this game is so late, but I'm going to stay up and watch it. I feel if anybody on the East Coast, the game probably don't start to 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. The game might not be over to 1. For me, I think it's 10. Wait, I'm looking at this. Now it's now my time. Now my time. I'm still going to be watch my Chargers, get this dub on these Raiders. My expectation is one thing, we need to make them play our style of football. You should see a very great chess match tonight against Pete Carroll and Harbaugh. you know, they got a history that goes back very well. So don't expect to see some of these silly plays. It's going to be a real chess match of a game. I got the Chargers coming out big on the end. I think the game will come down to defense and who stops the run better. That's why I think we'll win this game, and I believe we will come out on the tail end of that. Even though I know we've been trying to throw the ball more with Jay Herbo, but I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think, again, Raiders will have Brock Bowers tonight. So, you know, that obviously is a great value add for them. Can they get a little more running game going? Last week, they did not run for many yards. They did have a rushing touchdown, but it was a lot of Geno and the passing game he threw for over 300 yards last week in New England. I don't think that's a winning formula tonight. I think they got to be a little, again, to your point, a little more balanced. And also defensively, you got to protect that defense. Because, again, the Raiders' defense isn't great. It's solid, but it's solid, not really great. It's not really great. So, you know, can they, you know, play ball control and, you know, again, keep your defense on the sideline? So I think I got the Raiders winning by one. That was my pick. I'm going to stick with that pick. But, you know, should be an interesting game. Don't know if I'm going to make it through the game, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but yeah, y'all know if you're going to make it through. I'm going to make it through. I'll make sure I stay up. Also, I want to – we got Mar right here commenting on it so people know who listened on the audio. He said, now he a Chargers fan. My brother, I've been a Chargers fan. I'm a Chargers. I support the Bears because I'm from Chicago. I've been a Chargers fan. And I'm going to be honest when I say this, Sean, you finna start laughing. Why would I just openly just be a Chargers fan just out the blue randomly? Yeah, I'm just a Chargers fan. Nobody's lining up to be fans of the Chargers. We got a fake Asian lady to be at the game acting. Trust me, I'm not faking. Now I just come out the blue to be no Chargers fan. Trust me, brother. It's been hard times out here. If any team, I'm a fake or be a new bandwagon fan. Why would it be? I might as well go over there to the Eagles or the Chiefs or somebody who's winning. If I'm gonna do that, I am, brother. LaDainian Thompson. But it's time for real take or overreaction. I can tell you right now, Barnett was the overreaction because everybody know I support the Chargers. Real take or overreaction. I want you guys to comment who's listening, or if you find a way, let us know how you feel. Real take or overreaction. The Chiefs will not make the playoffs after starting 0-2.
This is an overreaction. This is an overreaction. It's still the Chiefs. They still have Andy Reid. They still have Patrick Mahomes. They still got a really good defense. They just got to get some guys, again, particularly their outside weapons, healthy. Let's see where they are, you know, mid-season, right? Again, they got some tough schedule. They got a tough schedule. You know, it's not going to be easy. But that said, I think, you know, they'll be fine. It's still a long, long season. And again, you know, just even in the division, if the Chargers lose tonight, the only team in the division that will be 2-0 is the Raiders. And if the Raiders lose tonight, the Chargers will be 2-0. So they haven't played they've only played the Chargers. So, you know, again, it's a long season. I think they'll be fine. You know, again, two tough teams, tough environments. Obviously, going to Brazil, play that first game, and then playing, you know, Philadelphia yesterday, you know, a Super Bowl rematch. Tough games to start the season, but I think the Chiefs will be fine.
Well, my main thing was, yes, this is an overreaction. You can never doubt Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. He always going to be a chance to win. But the one thing I did, right, I checked the schedule and I looked at it. They got Giants. Easy game. Ravens, that's going to be a tough one. Jaguars, easy. Lions, 50-50. Raiders, divisional game is always going to be tough. Commanders, Bills. Broncos. And until this other team that we're going to talk about, and I ain't going to say their name because we're going to talk about them and their quarterback looking good. Something must have happened. But this schedule I'm only saying this as an overreaction because of Patrick Mahomes, but looking at their schedule, it's not really an overreaction to say the Chiefs could possibly miss the playoffs. The division got better. Your only gimme game is the Giants and the Jaguars. After that, you got Ravens, Lions, Raiders, who's a divisional team, Commanders, Bills, Broncos, divisional game. That is a tough schedule. So it's not crazy to think the Chiefs might, but the Chiefs might miss the playoffs. They yeah. might miss the playoffs. So don't be shocked about that.
Yeah, I think it's I think winning the division is going to be tougher because obviously you mentioned every team in the division has gotten better. I think the gap is closed in terms of the division. Mm-hmm. So I think then winning the division isn't a given that it used to be for the last, you know, several years. But in terms of them being a playoff team, I still think they're a playoff team. But obviously it's a lot easier to be a playoff team when you win your division. So I'm saying it's an overreaction. But, you know, I think it starts – they got to win Sunday night. They don't want to go down 0-3. And, again, you mentioned they're playing the Giants. Probably will win that game Sunday night. So I'd say it's an overreaction.
On to the, what ain't overreaction is Travis Kelce is done. Now, he's done. It's not, you would not be overreacting saying that Travis Kelce is done. He don't look the same. He already got married. Man, go ahead. Go in the stars and sweep away, dog. Just go ahead. You already got the bag. Go ahead, get up out of here. Your podcast doing well. They got Garage Beer is doing well. Go ahead, retire. I know he tried to sneak off with the 3P. I think he was gonna go for the 3P and then try to get up out of there. But okay, next
I'll just say real quick, Kelce's been done since he went from Cheeks to Chiclets. Okay, we can move on.
Okay. He went good. I know what I'm not. Nope. See, that's how I happened last time. I ain't doing it this time. Real take or overreaction, Bears fans should be worried about Caleb Williams.
I'm going to let you go first on this one.
It's a real take. I'm going to tell you why. Do I still think he will be fine in the future? Yes, he'll get it. But to be worried about him is yes, and this is the things that I'm worried about with Caleb Williams. The basic passes when he run around to the wheel to make an outstanding backyard football play, but it take him an arm and a leg to make a check down, read a check down, to throw a check down, make the easier pass, just do the basics. And that concerns me more than anything, because no matter how flashy and fancy you can make all these crazy plays, if you can't do the basics consistently, it's gonna be GG's for you. Because when I was watching the game, I went to a play. I think we went to the lounge, a sports lounge, and I was talking to a couple of guys was there. I said, don't be surprised. And I'm going to say it now so all y'all watch y'all here now. If Caleb Williams was to get injured this season and Baggy had to play, Baggy going to look outstanding. He going to play well. Because he fits the mold of kind of what Ben Johnson's style of play is, too, of a quarterback. But Caleb Williams can take it to the next level with his creativity, with his ability to make something out of nothing. And also, Caleb Williams needs to learn how to, because the other thing I'm worried about, if the play did, don't be a hero. That's the only thing about when you're too creative, you be a hero too much. It was one dumb interception that he threw. He should have just threw it away. And it looked like he was like going to throw the pass and then thought about throwing it away, and that's how he ended up getting picked off. So it's a real take to be concerned about Caleb Williams. But would I give up on him? No. But that's a real take.
Yeah, I don't think the Bears fans should be worried. I'm going to say it's an overreaction for now. I think what I'd be more worried about is, first, obviously, how he's developing in that system. And two, the support around him. And, again, I'm not just talking about their offense. I'm talking about their defense. When you have a young quarterback, you want to support them with, you know, at least a minimally solid defense, hopefully an above average defense, but at least a solid defense. And the Bears, the last five quarters, haven't been anything but. So I think that's what I'd be more worried about if I were a Bears fan, is where's the support around him? We can't ask this guy going into his second year with a brand new head coach and a brand new system to basically ball out every single week for us to win. You got to support him. And we've seen this happen with young quarterbacks in some situations where they haven't always supported the quarterback with complimentary football. And I think that's really what the Bears should be trying to focus on, be playing right now, is complimentary football. Last week, again, in Monday Night Football, it started out that way. It looked pretty good. But, you know, obviously it went south in the fourth quarter. And yesterday, I don't think it ever even started. So from my perspective, I'm saying it's an overreaction, but I'd be more worried about how the entire team is playing, not just Caleb Williams.
Last one, real take or overreaction? Hold on. Real take or overreaction? Daniel Jones will lead the Colts to the playoffs. They are right now. They are 2-0.
I'm going to say this is an overreaction. I know they're 2-0. They pulled a close one out yesterday against the Broncos. But the Texans are still in the division. Until I see them play the Texans and beat the Texans, I'm saying this is an overreaction because I still think the Texans are the best team in that division. And I don't know if we lost SB. Yeah, we might have lost SB. That's all right. But what do y'all think in the comments? Please let us know in the comments. Do you think Daniel Jones will lead the Colts to the playoffs? Is this a real take or overreaction? Love to hear from you on this one. Let us know.
Okay.
All right.
I tried to turn it. So like I opened my other web, and I was like, I want to see what the game. I seen when I looked up at the scoreboard. I was like, oh wait, somebody got two touchdowns. Baker, who? I was like, let me see what play going on now. My stream instantly fried. But yeah, Daniel Jones. This is tricky to say at this moment right now. Because I am shocked that Daniel Jones looks good. Looks better than good. This Colts team look better. Remember, I told you, I said, I ain't gonna say exactly how I said it in text, but I was just saying, like, this showed you why maybe getting more reps and actually learning more with Anthony Richardson, because Daniel Jones came right in and looked it nice, and Anthony Richardson couldn't do this. And I think with the potential what Anthony Richardson could be, I think the Colts would be 10 times better. But if you really don't have that development or the skill set to do it, then this is what happens. Let's revisit this after they played my Chargers October 19th. Let's see where they at, like halfway, six, seven games in, and I can have a real sample size. Because,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I respect that they beat the Broncos. The Broncos defense, outstanding. I don't respect the Dolphins win. The Dolphins is not the team that we thought they were.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it comes down to, you know, again, you said they play the Chargers. They got some tough games coming up as well. I mean, obviously, they go to the Chargers. They play Atlanta. They got to go to Kansas City. They got to play Houston. So, you know, they got some tough games, you know, coming up. So, like you said, I want to see where they are. I'm going to revisit this in their bye week. Their bye week is week 11. Let's see where they are in their bye week, and then we can definitely have some conversation.
Okay. I don't know everybody even watching the game. But, oh, you know, sorry, Sean. Episode, I don't have another one. I had the highly concerned quarterbacks, but I'm going to wait for this one, too. I'm going to wait. Because it's about Cam and the Riggs. I'm going to wait. But it's 8-3, Sean. What you got?
Jersey number 83. Wow, that's an interesting jersey number, 83. You got one?
83. Hold on. I think I do, but let me make sure I'm right.
Okay. I got one. Andre Reed, Buffalo Bills Hall of Famer. Andre Reed,
Buffalo Bills. Okay. A3 is the weird number.
Yeah. Shout out Wes Welker as well.
Shout out Wes Welker. Wes Welker is going to be my pick for 83. So,